Pastor Ted Hansen.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you. I give an applause to you as well. It's always great to be here. I consider you my family. This is my New Mexico family. I have a big family. I got family all across the earth. I'm a blessed man. And anyway, it's great to be here and great to be a part of this. If you were not able to come on Friday night or Saturday morning, some of your family met together on your behalf and some great things got released that affect you. And so there was some prophetic release that came. That stuff got recorded. Yesterday I typed out the things that I felt were very significant for you. That'll be posted on your site. If you don't know how to access that, find somebody who does and they'll help you. But it's a good idea to wage a good warfare with the things that God has said. You don't make things happen, but to the degree that you believe them, you enter into them. God promised the promised land to a couple million folks, and only two guys received what God said, and that took about 40 years for them to consistently believe the promiser. And so you need to wage a good warfare and believe what God is saying. But I do want to just say a couple of things that God has released this weekend for us, and I also believe for the body of Christ. Because this is a new season, we're connected to what God is doing. Every time there's an increase of the coming, the manifest presence of Jesus in the form of the body of Christ, which is constantly increasing, every time that happens, the whole body sees Him. And so whatever He's doing here, He's doing somewhere else. Did you ever see that movie Hoosiers? Years ago, that movie Hoosiers with that little, it's a true story about a little team, basketball team in Indiana that won the championship. Well, when they went to the big championship game, they were a bit intimidated on the big basketball court. And the coach said, got a tape measure and had to measure the court and said, that's the same size as the court back home, isn't it? So when they were in the big arena, to prevent them from being intimidated, he showed them that the basketball court they played on was the same size back home as it was in the big place. So I wanted to tell you, whatever God is doing with you, He's doing with the global body of Christ. It's the same size court. You have the same relationship. And even if you were, you know, back in the children's room back there, there's no junior Holy Spirit. He's the same size. He's God, and He's in those kids. So be listening to your kids. For goodness sakes, they hear God better than you. But anyway, some things that got released this weekend. There was a verse that really popped in my spirit before Friday night's verse and Friday night's service, and that was Isaiah 55:3. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. That tells you that hearing God is not dependent upon your perfection, it's dependent upon God's love. And so you can hear God. And then in that same chapter, it talks about the word of God goes forth like the rain and the snow. And so the word came on Friday night that there's a twofold harvest that's coming to you. Some things that are going to be germinated that are in the ground from a long time ago. And it just wasn't time. It's like the snow. It needed some melting. And some things are present. So you're going to be receiving in this season things that God is doing now and things that God said He would do yesterday, but when He said it yesterday, He really meant today is the day He would do it. And so you're going to see things that are rapidly, this is for you and for the body of Christ, for you specifically. God said there were some things even that He spoke 20 and 30 years ago, which means those of you that have hair the color of mine were part of sowing some things 20 and 30 years ago that are going to happen right now. And then He also said that there was a revolution going on of a revelation of His presence, and you were going to have an influence in the community, many spheres of influence in this community as city life. You didn't become the church when you walked in the walls of this building. You are the church, and you can't get away from that. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you are the place where God lives. And God is increasing your ability to bring life to your world. Right where you live, to bring life to your world. And then the other thing that was talked about, that there was going to be a returning of children and children's children that were going to come and call mom blessed. That some were birthed in the church, some that went out from the church. People are going to come back into your life and call you blessed. Call this place blessed.
And there was a prophetic word that came forth that said, what if it's not about what I'm, what's being removed? What if it's about what's being revealed? And that he was giving us some things that are unshakable. And a significant dream that Pastor Irene had a bit ago was there was three dreams on three nights where there were three different kinds of shoes. And Pastor Caesar shared this on Friday night, that the shoes, the first shoes were like football cleats, traction. You run up the football field, like we saw on some of those football games yesterday. Definitely with the Titans. They had their traction shoes on yesterday. And then there was also a dream with a pair of shoes that were like basketball shoes on a hard floor basketball court where you could move to the right, to the left, forward, and jump and get footing on that wooden floor. And then there was a third dream that was a pair of sneakers that were casual shoes, your daily walk. And I felt that's very, very significant for you as a church, and it's very, very significant for what God is doing in this season and this time. And so today, my message to you this morning is a brand new walk. And there are I'm so excited in my spirit with what God is doing in this present season. I call it today. That's what God said to me at the end of the year. This is today. And you have to move in today. You have to move into today. You can't live in yesterday. 2019 is over. The good news is this is a leap year. You can actually leap into this year. You got an extra day if it's a little hard for you. You got an extra day in February. And you can cash in on that day right now. Today, take your extra day. And leap into what God is doing. But I believe that this is a time when these three types of shoes, the traction shoes, which I believe has to do with faith, your ability to get your footing and to move forward in life, faith is connected to wisdom. Wisdom is getting from today to tomorrow. That's connected to faith. But listen to me. Faith is not about a promise. Faith is about a person. Faith is not towards something that God said he will do for you. If that's where your faith is going to turn into law real quickly. And how many of you have had something come to pass the way you thought it should? Anybody? Not me. I'm 47 years old in Christ this year. I've never seen anything come to pass the way I thought. Better than I thought. Very often, I thought it was going to be worse, and it ended up being better. Okay? It's a good thing I'm really glad I'm not God. I would have messed a lot of things up. And I'm glad you're not God. My goodness. Aren't you glad you're not God? I mean, I'm thinking of some things that I wanted to happen in the past, and had they happened, my present would be messed up. God. So, what can I say? Faith is toward a person. It's an intimate relationship. And so if you're going to get this grip in the field. Now, we think of faith. I've got to get that grip, that traction, and it's hard. And so we watch those football games where it's hard. I got news for you. There's a shift. Faith is not hard. And God's going to change our mind about this. Because traction in the relationship with God, it's a relationship with God. I was singing this morning. Now, I'm gonna challenge you. I have a very difficult time these days singing songs about God. It's been a long time since I can use the pronoun he. I change the words all the time. You're singing this morning, I'm changing the pronouns. Because I spend more time talking to him than I do talking about him. If you spend more time talking about him than you do talking to him, you need to make a change. If I spend more time talking about my wife than I do talking to her, there's a problem in my marriage. If I spend more time talking about the body of Christ than I do talking to the body of Christ, there's a problem in my relationship with the body of Christ. If I spend no time talking about God, except for the times I come to church and we sing a song and you make me sing a song about him. then it's pretty guaranteed I'm not spending any time talking to him in the personal pronoun tense. Now, he is not religious. He didn't come with Christianity in mind. He came with Christ in humanity in mind. Now, he's very gracious. And he gets it. I mean, when we do things that are Christian, he doesn't get bent out of shape. So don't be religious about being non-religious. He doesn't care if you're religious. He doesn't care if you're non-religious. He's just not religious. So he doesn't care. I mean, my people, we do all kinds of crazy things. But he loves us. And man, I've discovered that God just loves all the crazy stuff we do. He's thinking, that's not exactly what I had in mind, but it's okay. I mean, come on. I'm a grandpa. And by the way, I got number 5 on the way. Woo-hoo-hoo! Actually, more than on the way. Number 5 actually is real, just that number 5 is getting bigger every day. And number 5, she hasn't come out into the air yet, but she'll be here in April. And so Eleanor Esther, she exists and she's getting excited. She's ready to come into this world. She's moving. She's active. She's ready. She's ready to manifest for us to see. So another baby. But God doesn't get bent out of shape out of our religiosity. He just wants us to have a relationship. So faith is toward a person. So your traction in life is connected to your connection to the person God. Your traction in life is not connected to how well you can stand fast and remember what he said. If you've got to remember what he said and you've got to get really hard and wage really difficult war with what he said, you're not close enough to hear his voice speaking. If you can't remember what he said yesterday, go to him today and ask him. He'll tell you. And if your relationship is based on what you have written in your journal and you're spending time warring with what your journal says, you should get close enough to him, because the first time you wrote it down, you thought he said something he didn't really say in the first place. It's like Charlie Brown's dog. You wrote it down. You know the words, but they sound like this. Wah, 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 wah. You don't know what it means. Come on. So, and you know what? And he's not worried. If you don't have it written down in your... He's looking at your journal and he's thinking, no, that's not exactly what I said. But okay, it's all right. You got the journal. Come on. I mean, he's not bent out of shape how you've got it written down. He trusts you. He loves you. You were born to be loved by him. He wants a relationship. People, this is about relationship. This isn't about religion. This isn't about where you're going to go when you die. This is about where you're living right now. That guarantees where you're going to go. Come on, you got your frequent flyer miles. Going to heaven's easy. But he wants to invade your earth with heaven's grace. He wants to change your marriage. He wants to change your family. He wants to change your business. He wants you to be the fountain of life that invades your desert and turns it into a fruitful field. That's relationship. Okay? You know, I've been married for 43 years this year. Man, I'm just beginning to know that woman. Man, she's amazing. And the older we get, I mean, I'm thinking, man, I wouldn't want to do this again. This is fantastic now. I mean, if you've had to do it again, God bless you, help you. But I'm just saying, man, it gets better and better. And I'm 47 years old in Christ this year, and I'm thinking, man, this just gets better and better. And I'm expecting some great things. And I feel that this year, today, if you'll hear his voice, faith comes by hearing. So don't be standing fast on what he said yesterday. Go and hear him again. He may say the exact same words that he used yesterday, but faith doesn't happen yesterday. It happens today. So traction is not meant to be a difficult thing. It's meant to be a powerful thing that happens because of intimacy. I told you, man, I can change diapers. Why? Because I got grandbabies. Okay, I can probably even change your kids' diapers, but not as easily. Why? You know what the power is for changing a diaper, or the power is for projectile vomiting? Do you know what the power is? Love. That's the only power that can overcome that stuff. The only power that can overcome bad smells. Love. That's the only one. Because if it's not your kids and it stinks, you'll leave. But if it's your kids and it stinks, you'll stay. But the only thing that can happen, make that happen, is love. Your journal won't do it. You write down in your journal, stay when it stinks. I guarantee you, when it starts stinking, you're going to leave unless love is the motivator. A journal ain't the motivator. The Bible's not the motivator. Love for God is the motivator. You can find it in the Bible. I guarantee you, it's the shadow of the good thing to come. And you should eat the Bible. You should read the Bible. You should love the Word. You should digest it. But it's not the source of life. It's the shadow to the one who is the source of life. Jesus says, I am the living bread. I am the Word of life. And He came so that you and I would be Word of life. We would be expressions of God. When we partake of communion, it's not the bread that you eat that's the bread. It's the bread that you are that's the bread. Come on, the cup that you drink is not a remembrance of the blood that was shed on the cross. It's a drinking of the cup of the Spirit that guarantees a testimony that the blood on the cross was real. Look, you're drinking of the life of the Spirit. Come on now. So faith is what gives you traction. And on that basketball court, those shoes that you know, grip and you can move back and forth. I'm not a basketball player and these are not basketball shoes, but I've got those. It's called hope. And hope is in a person. Hope comes is a testimony of the one that loves you. Hope is you, on the worst day, you know you're not going to slip on the hardest of floors because of your relationship with God. And that's going to give fuel to faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then the third type of shoe that I want to talk about this morning, because I really believe that this is a year God's going to change our walk. Change our walk here in Deming. Change our walk as the body of Christ on planet Earth. Okay, this is my 65th year on planet, and I'm going to change my walk. I ran 7 miles this morning, by the way, because I do that every day. I actually do 6, but I upped it in Deming to 7 just for you. So I've run 3 days, 21 miles of running in your city so far. I'll do 28 tomorrow, okay? So I wear shoes out. But I do that also as a prophetic statement. That there's a race to run, but I enjoy it. You should not be running a race that's not enjoyable. Okay? So, the third shoe was a casual tennis shoe. And I believe that casual tennis shoe has to do with love. Faith, hope, and love. And all of that is about a person. Now, Jesus came to restore our connection with God as our Father. I want to help you a moment. When you pray, I don't want you to think names. I want you to think person. Okay, God is a Trinity. He's Father. He's Son. He's Holy Spirit. Now, in your family, you should not have a difficult time recognizing who's the dad. You can look at the dad and you can say, not the mama. And you can look at the mom and you can say, not the papa. And you can look at the kids and you can say, not the mama and the papa. So in a family, you can recognize who the members are. Let's break this down a little bit simpler. Here's a mystery. When a man and a wife get married, it's one flesh. Okay. Now, you were one flesh before you got married. You were totally complete, one flesh. But when you got married, you became one flesh made of two. You weren't half and half, and then when you got married, finally you're a whole. So any single person is one flesh. Okay, as much as any married people are one flesh. But the challenge is, when you get married, two get to become one. So make sure you figure out what one flesh is before you get married. If you're only half flesh, and when you get married, you're going to have a difficult time in your marriage because you're going to try to get your identity out of the other half. When you need to get your identity from God, your Father. Ha! Men and women. Okay? If you end up, and I've talked to you about this before, I know. If you end up being divorced, that means there was a mistake. Okay? Now, it may not have been your fault. May have been your fault. Doesn't matter. But when you get divorced, the provision of divorce is not, a divorce is a death. God doesn't want anybody to die. God doesn't want any marriage to die. But death is not the end. Death is the freedom to be born again. Death is the freedom. Okay, we got thinking about, see, God hates divorce. Why? He hates death. He doesn't want any marriage to ever die. He doesn't. Till death do you part. Now, you should not experience that until you physically die. Some people, man, I get into this. This gets sticky, doesn't it? You can feel it. Okay, some people experience that before you die. Now, God didn't, when that happened, he's thinking, oh, man, you were supposed to be God, never make a mistake. How dare you, you dirty dogs. How dare you make a mistake? Man, now you're going to have to grovel and be in shame for 10, 15 years before I even consider giving you hope again. No, that's not God. God says, man, you messed up. Okay, let me move in the mess up with you. let's work this out. Man, that never should have happened. Let's make it so that never happens again. Okay. Okay, so this is today. Can you say it today? This is today. It's the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is gone. The only place it exists is in tombstones or stepping stones. Tombstones are memorials. They're great. They're a memory. Stepping stones are good too. It's another way to get forward, get up a little higher. So the past is great. It's filled with tombstones and stepping stones. My, you know, every year I visit my mom and dad's tombstone. It's a memorial. I go there and they don't care. They're not there, but there's a memorial and I go there and then I look at their tombstone and I talk out loud because that's me. And now I'm not talking to the dead. By the way, my parents are not dead anyway. They're in heaven. Okay. You know, I can't talk to them now. I will someday. I'm not interested in talking to them now. they got, I'm sure their hands are full. And my hands are full. But I do talk out loud. It helps me process. So, and then I remember that this memorial is really a stepping stone because I am the family and I'm here. I'm still affecting the earth. Okay. So the past doesn't exist except for in memorials and stepping stones. Okay. So in the present, so one flesh, I was into this, one flesh is a relationship. I can't be one flesh with my wife unless I see we are one flesh. And that requires relationship. God is a Trinity. Yet, he's described as one God. You can say that you are forgiveness, but unless you come face to face with unforgiveness and it cannot change you, you are not authentic. And God wants us to be authentic. When the day comes when unforgiveness comes right to your face and it cannot change who you are, then you know you're real. Now, you and I are in that process of life. We face things that are lies all the time. Lies that are not true to our identity. And sometimes we embrace lies that are not really who we are. And so we think it's the devil when something bad manifests in us. And it's really God saying, you don't really need that. Let it go. Yeah. So, relationship. I want you to practice in your walk this year when you're praying, sense who you're talking to. Are you talking to the Father right now? Or are you talking to Jesus? Or are you communicating with the Holy Spirit? Oh, how do I know? I don't know. You'll have to figure that out.
I know how I figure it out. But it doesn't come by a method. It comes by recognizing who's in the house.
So think about that, not just in your head. Think about it in your heart. Now, it's not sacrilegious because you can't divide them. I said, you can't be forgiveness unless unforgiveness can't change you. Do you know God can't be relationship unless it's possible for him to not be relationship? If God is a Trinity, yet he's one, by our terms, it would be possible for him to be three. But because he is love and he is relationship, it's impossible for him to be three, though he is distinctly three people. Because when he became Jesus, he didn't stop being the Father also, and he didn't stop being the Spirit, and Jesus was not confused. And before he became Jesus, you understand, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but before that, he was the eternal Word, who was never born. He has no beginning and no end. He is the beginning. He is the end. He just decided to show up in flesh for our sake. So I'm challenging you to think relationship. Oh, that's so hard. Well, it's only hard if you think life is about being told what to do. But if you realize life is about life and you start finding the magic of relationship with God, you're going to grow in this. So even in worship today, I'm singing, what did we sing? Sing it with me. How great is our God? I can't sing how great is our God. I go, how great you are, God. Sing with me, how great you are, God. How great you are, God. And then I'll maybe throw a little phrase in there. God, you're awesome. I have an advantage. I travel around the nations and they speak all kinds of languages, which has allowed me to get over being embarrassed for being strange. Because everywhere I am, I'm strange. And so, do you realize you are strange? You know why? You're you. Everybody else is everybody else. That makes you strange. So don't be worried about everybody else. Just get real in your walk with God. Now, Jesus came to reconnect us to God as our Father. And he came to restore us to our Father, to restore us in a relationship of being sons and daughters. I'm a son of God. You could say, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. God's my Father. That's what Jesus came for me to know. I didn't know that before. I thought he was God and I was a sinner and I had to get clean so that he would love me. But you see, my Father never had a problem seeing who I am. Your Father never had a problem seeing who you are. Sin, which means like missing the mark, looking for love in all the wrong places, you know? Looking for, like you're a glass meant to be filled with water and all you're looking for is sand. I mean, you're glass looking for water. You don't know what, you've never experienced water. So you keep coming under sand and you keep getting the same results. And so you find different sand and you get a different result. And then you find colored sand and you get a different result. You get fine sand and it's the same as coarse sand. And you keep putting yourself under sand and you're thinking, man, what is wrong? This isn't working out well. This isn't satisfying at all. It just keep getting glasses of sand. And God says, man, I'm water, you're a glass, you were meant to be filled with me to overflowing. Man, I just want a relationship with you. Do you know you are? You're a glass. You're meant for water, you're not meant for sand. You're meant for me. Jesus, would you go tell that guy Ted who he is? My goodness, go tell him who he is. He was born to be loved by me. I've always seen him as my son. He thinks he's a container of sand. And so Jesus comes down and he demonstrates what a cup of water looks like. He says, come on, Ted, look at this. Look what's coming out of me. It's life. You feel better when you're around me, don't you? You know what? Everybody should feel better when they're around you too, Ted. Life should be coming off of you. And that's why you're a son. You're, goodness sakes, Ted, you're a son of God. What are you doing? He came to reconnect us to our Father. He came to reconnect us in a relationship with God. Think about it. Woo! A relationship with God. Okay, so the Father, sin never caused a problem for God seeing who we are. It only caused a problem for us seeing who He is. So we define Him as this being who is unapproachable. He's like, whoa, He is our God. It's a consuming fire. Don't get close. You know, my God's a consuming fire. That's really good news. You know why? Anything in me that can burn will. Isn't that awesome? And if it can burn, that means it's not authentic. If it can burn up, it's not life. So the best thing I can do is run to this consuming fire and let everything woof that can woof. He's got fire in his eyes. Old song. He's got fire in his eyes. Woo. You know, we think that song is, he's got flashlights in his eyes, and he's looking at you. He's going to find out if you stepped in doo-doo. He's got flashlights in his eyes. No. He's got fire in his eyes. Just one look. Woo. That's all it took. See, even that song, we sing that song. Something about the light and the darkness. How does it go? Put you on the spot. It's terrible, isn't it? Put you on the spot. Okay. Again, no pressure. When you think of it. Okay. But, you know, it talks about and darkness trembles. There's a line before that. He's the light. You know, darkness doesn't just tremble. You know why it would tremble? It's because when light comes to darkness, darkness becomes light. Darkness doesn't run out the door. Darkness doesn't say, well, I sure hope light doesn't come around. I'll have to leave. No, when light comes around darkness, it's not darkness anymore. It's changed. Don't be afraid of your darkness. Come to the light. Because when he shines, what was shame all of a sudden has no more power of shame. And you never want to go back to where you came from to find that shame again. You do know Jesus will never put on you something he took off of you at the cross. Okay, so we're sons and daughters. We're ambassadors of God on earth. I said, you know, we actually have, I've told you before, we have a green card to work on planet earth. We're citizens of heaven, but we got a green card. We got a visa. We get to work on planet Earth. Okay, we don't have a green card to get into heaven. We're citizens of heaven. No matter where we were born, where we come from, whatever nation, whatever place on planet Earth we come from, we actually were born again. We're citizens of heaven. But guess what? He doesn't want us there right now. There'll be a day. But today is probably not that day. Could be, but probably not. So today's another day to get to business, be an ambassador, bring life to your world. All right? Now, in Hebrews, as I came into this year, hearing this thing of relationship, I want you to really see me, Ted, who I am. I want you to know me as Father. Know me as Jesus. Know me as Holy Spirit. I want you to come true in your identity
to hear me. To have traction shoes, we would say now. To have faith toward me. Faith toward God. Jesus, you know, yesterday I was preaching and Friday night we sang the song, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe in you. That song, I sing that different now than I used to because I'm a grandpa now. And my grandkids would sing it like this, Grandpa, I believe in you. They know I'm a gift giver, but they don't believe in me because I'm a gift giver. They believe in me because they call me Grandpa. I've got that T-shirt. They call me Grandpa because partner in crime looks incriminating, right? Looks like I'm a bad influence. In Hebrews chapter 3, let's read some scripture. Therefore, of course, in chapter 2, it talks about Jesus became one of us. He was tempted like you're tempted. Anybody tempted? It's not a sin to be tempted. Temptation only comes to prove the real. So everybody's tempted. Being tempted is not a problem. And I've given you a secret before about temptation. When you're tempted in anything in life, I promise you got at least 10 friends that were just tempted by the same thing. So don't pray for yourself. Pray for your 10 friends. Because if you pray for yourself, you're thinking about yourself and your problem's going to get worse. If you have a problem and you've been fasting and praying to get free and you're wondering why it's getting worse, it's because you're not supposed to fast and pray to get free. Stop it. Now, if you want to fast and pray for somebody else to get free, do that. And by the way, fasting in the New Covenant is not about abstinence. It's about indulging. So you might not eat food, but you better eat something. You better eat His presence. You better indulge in Him. Don't spend time doing nothing. Because if you spend time doing nothing, that's an empty hole being waiting to be filled with something. So make sure you fill your life with Him. Okay. So Jesus was tempted, so therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Hey, let's get that out of religion for a moment. Hey, because he became one of us and lived in our world and knows what it's like to be in our world, but now he's exalted in heaven and he is the eternal high priest. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But he has access to our lives by his Holy Spirit because he's in us and with us, because there's no separation between what is in heaven and on earth. So therefore, know this. Come on, guys and gals. We are holy. We're holy. And we're partakers of the heavenly calling, the same calling that Jesus had when he was here. We have it right here in Deming. So consider the apostle, the sent one, the sending one. Consider the sending one, the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Consider him who was faithful to him who appointed him. He was faithful to Dad. He was faithful to our Father who appointed him. As Moses was faithful to his house, Moses was faithful to his house. Jesus was faithful to his house. Well, what's the difference? For this one, Jesus, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. In other words, this one is actually the builder of the house, not the shadow of the house. You know, Moses didn't build a house. He built a copy of the house. The scripture's not the house, it's the copy of the house. You know when Abraham heard God, there was no Bible? Did you know when Abraham became the father of faith, there was no scripture? There was no scripture to memorize, no verses to write down and put on Abraham's refrigerator. No, it didn't exist. No chapter and verse to kill yourself with or to kill anybody else with when Abraham had faith. He heard God in his heart. Okay, now, you know more than Abraham.
He only knew what he knew because he was only given what he was given. You've been given more than Abraham. And by the way, Abraham's rejoicing right now. He's thinking, oh, yeah, come on, come on. That's what I'm talking about. That's the city I saw. Come on. I mean, he's still alive. And he's quite excited about what's going on. But he didn't have Moses' house. The reason Moses got the house was because the people of Abraham had a hard time listening to God because they didn't want to get intimate with God. So God gave a provision of what intimacy would look like if you wrote it down. Now, what was written down is fantastic. It's a shadow of what intimacy looks like. So everything that's written, don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't go out of here and go say that, oh, that preacher, he doesn't believe in the Word of God. Hang around me a bit. And you'll find I know the Word of God pretty well. And I value it very high. But I value the words more than the chapters and the verses. Because so often we take the chapters and the verses out of context, and those were not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Those were inspired by people to help you find where to find it. And some of you are so busy trying to find where you find it, you've missed 23 hours in the day because you spent 23 hours trying to find it and you lived maybe 1 hour. When you should be spending 24 hours a day living life, loving God, loving people, walking in the shoes that are traction shoes, just shoes that are basketball shoes and them everyday shoes that fulfill the purpose of God in relationship. Come on. this is not difficult, but this can carry you through difficult things. Okay, so in Hebrews, he says, verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Moses indeed was faithful in his house as a servant. For a testimony to those which would be spoken afterward. So the house that Moses builds is a house that you have to remember what was built and you can only serve. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Not whose house we went to when we came in through the doors of City Life Church in Deming. No, whose house we are. We're the house that God built, that God lives in. Hey, God wants to move into the neighborhood, and the way he moves into the neighborhood is he lives in his house. Last year I was a little frustrated, my wife and I, because, man, we replaced every flipping appliance in our house. I mean, 4th of July, my hot water heater goes out, my microwave went out, my refrigerator went out, even my barbecue went out. I mean, all of my appliances went out last year. And now this year it's dawned on me, well, God just wanted new appliances. Because wherever God is, there's new appliances. What can I say? Now, I shouldn't complain about the price I had to pay to get new appliances. God wanted new appliances. Now, I got some furniture in my house that looks like it's really wore out. But you know why it looks like it's wore out? I got grandbabies. And it's wore out by love, man. Love wore out my couches. I mean, the springs are sprung in my chairs. Love sprung the chairs, the springs in my chairs. But I got news for you. This is a year where God is going to reveal himself as living in my house. I got a feeling there's going to be some new furniture. Okay. Now, new furniture is not going to get God to show up. God showing up is going to give me new furniture. And by the way, furniture wears out. Love will wear out furniture. I mean, if you never have anybody over, man, if I never had anybody over, cover my furniture with, you know, white sheets, no one can sit on it, my couches would still be good. But I got grandbabies. I mean, my furnitures have experienced everything from jumping, bumping, sitting, projectile vomiting. My furniture's experienced a lot of love. It's experienced good days, bad days. I mean, my chair that I sit in my living room, I got two pillows just to keep my back from hurting in my chair, but they're my pillows. Be messing with my pillows now. Those are my... There needs to be some signs of love in the house. Okay? And love will cause temporary things to be chafed. Because temporary things can be stuck in yesterday, but love constantly wakes up and lives in another day. Okay, so now think about these two houses now a moment. The house of Moses is built by servants, so it's filled with service, filled with testimonies, and can be spoken about afterwards. So did you come today for a service so that you could come and serve, be filled with testimonies, and talk about what happened today, this week? Or Christ, as a son over his house, he builds a house of sonship filled with sons and daughters and daily testimonies and increasing personal experiences of God. So you could do that right here, because this is a place we've come together as the house of God, a bunch of members together. I love it. I love it. God, it's both and. Almost all things are both and, not either or. God loves it big and he loves it small. Can't be big without being small. Can't be small without being big. The answer is yes. Is it big? Yes. Is it small? Yes. Does he live? Is he excited when we come together? Yes. What about when we're by ourselves? Yes. Which does he like better? Yes. So we are the house of Christ, the house of God's manifest presence. Not on Sunday. We're the house of God's manifest presence right there in your office. We're the house of God's manifest presence on that school bus. We're the house of God's manifest presence in your carpenter shop. We're the house of God's manifest presence when you're driving your pickup truck. We're the house of God's manifest presence in your kitchen. We're the house of God's manifest presence on your seat in the school board. You're the house of God's manifest presence wherever you are. And you're the house that God built, not the house that Moses is built. So don't show off how well you can serve. Show off how well you can love. Because remember, sin never caused a problem for God seeing people for who they really are. It only causes a problem for people seeing who he is. So you get to be the house that God built, so that you can shine in the world as light, shine in the world, be salt. You can be that which preserves, brings the best out of everybody. Come on, this is Deming, New Mexico. You know all about food. Well, you know, Pastor said we're going to be eating meat this week. Well, actually, we're vegetarians. We eat meat, but right now there are some animals that are digesting our vegetables, preparing them for us. So we're the house of Christ. We're the house of God's manifest presence. You see, the tennis shoes, the everyday shoes are only going to come when you realize you're going to be able to walk as love. Faith demonstrates you are loved. But those everyday shoes, you shouldn't be walking around every day just making God prove that he loves you. If you spend more time praying about your needs or thinking about your life than you do thinking about God's kingdom, you need to get healed in your thinking. If you spend more time complaining than you do rejoicing, it means you're thinking too much about your life. And you're not thinking enough about someone else's life. Come on, you need to have a few kids. That fixes it. Date night is gone. Come on, you need to expand your family a little bit. That'll take care of it. Why don't you birth somebody you love? That'll fix it. I'm talking not just natural here, aren't I? I'm talking about life. Come on now, it's a new season. We're the house of Christ, the house of God's manifest presence. And the time to hear him is today. It's always today. It's a time and a place of knowing God's rest. Big word for 2020. You want to have 2020 vision? You're going to have to become the place where God rests. And you're going to have to become the place that rests in God. Okay, we're almost done, but I got to define rest for you because rest has been messed up. We have this thing, okay, we put on our tombstones, rest in peace. We say from dust we came, to dust we return. You realize that is not the end. Okay, when rest in peace, okay, I don't want to belittle that. We rest in peace, okay? You got loved ones who have rested in peace. Okay, that's from your perspective. I got news for you. Your grandma who never danced, I think is dancing right now. Your grandpa who never raised his hands and shouted and said, I love you. He's been crying for quite a while now, lifting his hands and shouting. Okay, you'll be surprised. Okay, and they have a revelation of they're not resting from their labors. They're resting because of his labors. So now I've got a good announcement this morning. How about you and I get there before we get there? Okay. See, rest is not I'm exhausted, I need a break. When God made man, I've told you before, Genesis 1 is God perspective to the earth. Genesis 2 is man perspective to what God did. It's not chronological. It's two different viewpoints. It was not written at the time. There weren't any journalists present, thank God. There wasn't any video cameras or audio recordings. It was thousands of years after it happened. God told Moses, I want you to write it down. This is how I want you to write it. And so it's meant to be poetically true more than factually true, although it could be absolutely factually true. I don't care. And by the way, revolutions don't come through facts, they come through poetry. And it doesn't look right because by all natural means, it's not right. But by supernatural means, it's absolutely right. Come on, you do understand when Job said, blessed is the Lord, he gives and takes away. Theologically, he was not correct. But poetically, he was correct. So don't go correcting Job. He's smarter than you. He was saying, I'm not giving the devil an ounce of credit for anything. I don't care if he took. God is the one whom I serve. So he was being a poet. He was not being a scientist. He was not being a theologian. So stop being a theologian to Job. He wasn't being a theologian at that moment. There's a time to be a theologian and there's a time to be a psalmist. Okay? Like we say, you know, the pessimist sees the cup half empty, the optimist sees it half full, and the psalmist sees it overflowing. Okay, so in Hebrews, look at verse 7, chapter 3. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where our fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. And they've not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath they'll not enter my rest. Now, why? Because entering God's rest doesn't come by knowing what God can do. Entering God's rest comes by knowing who God is. And if you think you can do it by what is done, I'm not going to let you go there. I'm not going to let you enter my rest if you think it's about what you do. Because you'll never find it if you were there. I'm not angry with you. I'm angry with how you think. That's what I'm angry with. I'm not angry with you. You just got to get rid of your stinking thinking, right? So if you are the place that God rests, we can know His voice every moment of every day. So we need to embrace this time called today. I'm going to embrace today. How about you? You going to embrace today? Okay. Now, 2019, God gave you enough at the beginning of 2019 to get you to the end of 2019, but He didn't give you enough to get into 2020. So you need today. And today is a place where God rests. Okay. So when God made man in Genesis 2, what day did God make man according to Genesis 1? Anybody read the story? Did you read the book? Or did they tell you in Sunday school? What day did God make man? It's not a trick question. Six day. Okay, that wasn't too difficult. On the sixth day, God created man, right? So six is a number that represents man. Okay, what did God do on the seventh day? He rested. Okay? Did He rest? Okay, so now, then in Genesis 2, it says God formed man from the dust. And then it says he planted a garden in the east. And He took the man that He'd formed from the dust and He put him in the garden. So according to God's view, what day was that? Day seven. Because He made man on day six. So if He formed man from the dust and He planted a garden, put man, it was on the sixth day that man was formed. And then man's first experience was rest. Now, rest from labor? Was man resting from labor? No, he hadn't done anything. He wasn't resting from labor. God wasn't resting from labor either. Because love's not a labor. Ooh, I need to say that again. God wasn't resting from labor either because love's not a labor, love's a joy. Do you realize that Jesus didn't do the cross as a labor? He did it as a sacrifice of love. You could even do the cross when love is the motivator. And the cross wasn't about what Jesus was overcoming for the sake of Jesus. It was about what He was going to do for our sake. Why? Love made a way. So here's my question. Today, if you hear His voice, are you an expression of His love that's going to make a way? Not for you. For your family, for your friends, for your neighbors, for your enemies. So rest then. Man experienced God resting. Now God rests because He's satisfied. Not because He's tired. We put on the tombstone, rest in peace. Why? We're tired. The curse of the fall said, from dust we came, to dust we return. That's only the natural aspect of humanity. I got news for you. That's nirvana. That's nothing. My end is not that. And your end is not that. You are not going to rest in peace like that. You are going to go from this glory to a greater glory. So I got an idea. How about you end this one in a really good glory? Now, and if you haven't been able to figure that out, I got good news for you. Today, if you'll hear His voice, you can enter into this place of His rest. But here's my challenge, and we're out of time, so here's simply what I'm going to tell you. 2020, if we're going to walk in these tennis shoes, these shoes that are casual, they're actually a testimony of love, which is the most difficult thing in the flesh to do. Because I'm not talking about phileo love, friendship love. I'm talking about agape love, the ability. And I'm not talking about you being loved. I'm talking about you being love. Faith is the testimony of you being loved. That'll give you good traction. But purpose, joy, fulfillment is connected to you being the place where God rests. The house that God built, not the house that Moses built. The house that God built. I am a house that you have built and are building, God. So wherever I am, that's where you are. And wherever you are, that's where I'm going to be. And so this year, I'm going to hear your voice, and I'm going to let you rest in my life, and I'm going to rest in your life. And even God says, this is even going to come in practical ways into your life, so that in this season called now, God says, I'm bringing my people to be my people, not to convince me to change and become like them, but to allow me to move into their house and change the furniture. And God says, in this season, you're going to find a rest that comes because you are satisfied. And God says, this past decade, you may have been tired, but that was then, this is now. Today, if you will hear my voice, I'm going to cause you, I'm going to cause City Life Church, I'm going to cause the expressions of my people to be my people, and you're going to enjoy a daily relationship with me unlike you've ever known, not religious, but real. And God says, I'm going to cause you to become authentic. You make a great you and a terrible someone else, and I want you to shine. I want you to shine in your kitchen, to shine in your marketplace. I want you to shine on your farm. I want your flipping horses, donkeys, and cows to rejoice when they see you coming in their direction. I want your dog to be happy. I want your cat to be comforted. I want your family to be blessed. But it's because you are the house of my presence. And when you walk into the room, I walk into the room, and it brings peace. Yeah, come on, give him glory. So Jesus, we thank you that you made a way for this to happen. You know what it looks like because you are not just the Word. You're also the Son of God, the Son of Man. You made it so that we would know that that's really what relationship with our Father is, sons and daughters. And Holy Spirit, you're a comforter. You're the paraclete, the one who comes alongside of us. You're God. You've come in the name of Jesus, but you stir our own spirits to cry out, Abba, Father. And we thank you that there's not a moment of our day, not even when we're sleeping and drooling on our pillows, that you are absent. So we ask that you would just stir us up in our spirit. Stir us up that our spirits would overflow to our souls. This is a new kind of day. It's time for us to be the house of God's manifest presence. To be at rest with God and God resting in us. That we can hear it said, "Wow, I was looking for a place to move into and live. And you're it." And because of that, we know our world is going to change. Our environment is going to change. Your kingdom is coming. Your will is being done on earth exactly as it is in heaven. Not a copy like Moses made, but the real deal, the authentic life of God right here in Deming, New Mexico, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.